Sunday, reading God's word. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1. I've entitled the sermon, Spiritual Blessings in Christ. But I just want to start with this. I wonder if you ever heard of a lady called Thelma Howard. Thelma Howard died in 1981. But for 20 years, she had been a maid to Walt and Lillian Disney. Every Christian, Walt Disney would summon her to his office and give her a Christmas bonus. More likely, she was hoping for some monetary gift, a few dollars. But instead, every year, for 20 years, he would give her a piece of paper with some writing on it. Well, Thelma Howard died in 1981, in dire poverty, a lonely old woman. But when her few possessions were being sorted out, it was discovered she was worth an absolute fortune. She was actually a millionaire. Those bits of paper that Walt Disney actually gave her over the years were stocks and shares in her company. And when she actually died, she was actually worth $9 million. She had all the riches she could want, but she never knew it. And as we look at the letter to the Ephesians, one of the things that strikes us more than anything else, that Paul actually talks to these believers about all the riches in Christ. Let's look at the passage. God's choice was to bless us in Christ in the past. Firstly, God's choice was to bless us in Christ in the past. Verse 3, and it says this. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It doesn't say that God has blessed us with some spiritual blessings, but it says every spiritual blessing in Christ. Paul is actually writing primarily to the church at Ephesus. And Ephesus was known as the Bank of Asia. It had one of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Diana, with all the art treasures. And what Paul is actually saying, in comparison, you are more wealthy than these because of what you have in Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, and notice that everything we need is in Jesus. In the scripture that Amanda read to us, it mentions in Christ or in him more than 14 times in these first 14 verses. We have all the blessings to that living relationship with Jesus. Yes, life might be hard. Yes, life might be challenging at times. We might be stretched to the limit. But in Jesus Christ, we have everything you need. And Paul says, all these spiritual blessings are according to his pleasure and will. You can almost see the joy of God as he pours a blessing upon us. He lovingly lavished us with his amazing grace. And later on in chapter 2, he actually talks about the peace that we have through Christ Jesus. The tremendous hope that we have in him. And as we walk together as God's church, there is nothing more important than this, to know that in Jesus Christ, our hope and our certainty, and whatever we face, we can know God's wonderful grace so lavished upon us. And one of the keys to standing firm as a believer in 2022 is the reminder that God, our Heavenly Father, who chose us before the creation of the world in Christ, will never let us go. Because he has made that commitment, we have been adopted into his family. We can rejoice and to give praise to God who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. If we actually think about it, heavenly realms, what is that actually saying? That Jesus today is seated with God the Father, interceding for us, pleading our cause. Because of Jesus, we know every spiritual blessing in Christ. Secondly, I want to pick up God's rescue of us in the present, verse 7. And it says this: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And what Paul says here, that we have redemption in Jesus. In the Old Testament, the word redemption is used to describe God's rescue of the children of Israel from Egypt. The word redeem means to purchase, to set free by paying that price. Now you see what Paul means here when he says that through Jesus you have been redeemed, you have been rescued. But like the slave market, or like being in Egypt, it came at a great cost. It was the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus dying for you and for me, that we might receive God's forgiveness, God's mercy, and God's grace. Just let me illustrate it. A wealthy English family once invited friends to spend some time on the beautiful estate. The happy gathering was almost plunged into a terrible tragedy on the first day, when the children went swimming, one of them got into deep water and was drowning. Fortunately, the gardener heard the screams and plunged into the pool to rescue the helpless victim. The youngster was William Churchill. His parents, deeply grateful to the gardener, asked what could they do to reward him. He hesitantly then said, "I wish my son to go to college and someday to become a doctor." "We will pay his way," replied Churchill's parents. Years later, when Winston Churchill was Prime Minister, he was stricken with pneumonia. Greatly concerned, the King summoned the best physician who could be found to the bedside of the ailing leader. The doctor was Sir Alistair Fleming, the developer of the penicillin. He was also the son of the gardener who had saved Winston from drowning as a boy. Later, Churchill said, "Rarely has one man owed his life twice to the same family." What was rare in the case of Winston Churchill is much deeper, that sense of reality for every believer in Christ. The Heavenly Father has given us the gift of physical life, but through his Son, he has imparted to us eternal life. But what does redemption mean for us? Well, Paul says it means that we can receive God's forgiveness. Here in verse 7, forgiveness is a lavish gift that God has richly given us from his treasure trove of blessing. And it's one of the most beautiful gifts of all. All our guilt, all our shame, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross for us. And time again, as believers, we need to remember that nothing can take that forgiveness away from us. Yes, there are times when we really mess up. There are times when we really struggle and we really doubt. But thank God afresh for his forgiveness. We have a Lord Jesus, not just saves, but he saves us to the utmost. A Lord Jesus who rescues us. So we need to keep on remembering we are forgiven. We have been set free. We have a Saviour who saves us to the utmost, a Saviour who can meet us at our point of need. Thirdly and finally, God's promise to us for the future. I want to pick up verse 13, and it says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, a promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." Verse 13 mentions, firstly, "and you also were included." And Ephesians picks up the fact about Jews and Gentiles in chapter 2. And what Paul is saying, "and you also were included." You are part of God's kingdom. And then there are many things that the Spirit does for us. But one of the things it does to act as a seal on us, to show us that we are God's people, that we have been rescued, redeemed, and called by God. And the word that Paul uses for marked is literally branded. As slaves or cattle were given their owner's mark in the ancient world, so the Spirit of God is the mark of ownership on us. And he knows who his people are. And every believer has God's Spirit within them, enabling them to believe in Jesus, to live that effective Christian life that guarantees for the future. Because that's what Paul means here when he says the Spirit is the deposit guarantee, our inheritance. The Spirit is the down payment, a deposit showing that we belong to God and more is to come. Just let me illustrate it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a famous 19th century preacher, and he illustrated the good things that we can receive from God. Always the same prospect, more to follow. He says, when God forgives our sins, there is more forgiveness to follow. He justifies us in his righteousness of Christ, but there is more to follow. He adopts us in his family, but there is more to follow. He prepares us for heaven, but there is more to follow. He gives us the grace, but there is more to follow. He helps us in our old age, but there's still more to follow. And Spurgeon concluded, even when we arrive in the world to come, there is still more to follow. Our God is the God that pours his blessing upon us. And the fact that God has marked us by his Spirit and dwells within us by that Spirit is that cast iron guarantee that he will bring us safely into our kingdom. Nothing can stop God completing his work in us. We have his mark. We have his Spirit within us. We are God's possession. And what great assurance that is for the believer. What the Lord has started, he will complete. We are God's possession. And as we respond daily to our living God, to know that he has lavished his grace and his shalom peace, and that we can receive every spiritual blessing that we can ever need or imagine. Amen.